Dear brethren, friends, peace be unto you. You have gathered here to witness the baptism and share this special day with our new brethren in Christ. I will repeat your names so we may remember our new brethren. We want to share this day with Sister Nikita, with Sister Natalia, with Brother Daniel Pope, with Sister Simina, did I say it right? Yes. With Sister Linda, with Brother Viorel, with Brother Andre, with Brother Henrik, with Brother Jan, with Sister Nina, with Sister Sabina, and with Sister Anna. Today, you will concentrate your life to the Lord God, and you will make vow with Him forever. We may not know every one of you very well personally, yet we know your heart so deeply. As many of us present here made the same vows with the Lord and express in the water baptisms as you will do today. You are here today because there is something very special, very important that you want to tell your God. Something very sincere, very pure. I see some tears falling down. This is the sign of sincerity and depth of the feelings. Something that is coming from the depth of your soul. God has revealed Himself to you. He has called you with His high calling. Do you ever wonder why? Why God noticed you? Why He has called you? We will never fully know what is in a person that God notices, that calls him to her, calls him or her to His own nature. We will never know when we are still on this earth. It is only by the grace, by His grace, that you stand here before Him. And it's only by His grace you are invited to be baptized. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." We all remember the moment when we look at Him for the first time. When we saw Him on the cross, I can still feel the warmth of His words when for the first time He reached out to me. Today, He is asking you. He is asking you to follow Him. There is nothing more beautiful, nothing more noble on this earth than to live for Jesus and for His purpose. Quiet your heart and listen to His voice. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy loaded, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And then He added something more, something very special. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Only with Jesus the yoke is light. For His yoke are all the commandments and His promises. His commandments, which are noble and pure, containing the secret of this life and the life to come. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." Today, we want to draw to Him. We want Him to accept our insignificant self and open the gates of heaven to us. The water baptism is only a symbol of what is happening in your heart. Yet, it is a foundation and the beginning of your Christian journey. What does baptism mean and what does it represent is the only way to obtain justification and to have an intimate relationship with God. By being submerged under the water, you will express to Him that you are ready to die with Him because you believe that you shall also live with Him. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. At the River Jordan, a voice was heard, the voice of Jehovah, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, indeed I am well pleased. Jehovah just witnessed the dedication of His only begotten Son and was very pleased. Today, at this very place, Jehovah will weigh the matters of your heart. Today, you will dedicate yourself to Him. There, at the River Jordan, our Lord began His journey of the cross, and He stayed on His path until His cold body was laid to rest in a tomb. Your journey that begins today is also lifelong and will last until the day when your voice will become silent. Today, this is holy ground, and you are your Father's beloved, in whom He is very pleased. The vows of your consecrations are not to be taken lightly. Better is not that you shall not vow, than thou shalt vow and not pay, says the Scriptures in Ecclesiastes 5:5. This vow has to be sincere, and it must mean everything to you. There is no other way but narrow way for those who consecrate their life unto death. There is no other way but to be faithful. Romans 6:3-4. Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized in His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a newness of life. This scripture is comparing baptism to a burial in water, and it expresses few things. Number one, it expresses our belief in His death. Two, it's an act of full surrendering our wills and consecration. And three is our commitment to follow Him to our own death. The simple act of water baptism represents submission of our will into the will of God. From now on, all we have will come under the control of His will. No longer we are alive, Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have no more earthly aims or ambitions. Our hope is in Christ. Romans 8:9. However, you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. After your submersion, you will be lifted up from the water, lift into a newness of life. This newness of life is our sanctification, a process that will last till the day we die. What is sanctification? First, it's our justification through Jesus' marriage, when we fully consecrate all to God. Only then we become accepted and adopted into God's family. Only then the sanctification can begin, which signifies that God is setting you apart for His holy service. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Until a man will meet with God and dedicate his heart, his will, his entire being to Him, he cannot become new creation. Unless you make a covenant with God, you cannot be sanctified. Your heart will never change, no matter how hard you try. Only then you will know what faith is. Only then you will trust Him infinitely. And this is God's grace. To become new creation. Yet, we have the same body, the same mental capabilities, the same emotions. However, our spirit is made new, giving birth to new values, new mindset, new dreams, new hopes. From now on, Jesus lives within you, and He desires to express Himself through your life. Ephesians 3:20 refers to the power that is at work in us. And 2 Peter 1:4 states, we are partakers of His divine nature. So our attitude, our approach, our interaction with one another has to be an expression of Christ dwelling within your heart. Our daily life has to become a daily expression of His life and His will. And to assist you with this, God gives us the greatest gift that can be given, the gift of Holy Spirit. Not everyone can recognize what is holy, what is spiritual. And this is His gift, that you are able to discern what is holy, what is spiritual. God is giving us this opportunity that during this life, we are able to live by Spirit in the world that is totally unknown to those around us. In this life, we grow spiritually in the proportion how much our old will is dying. The more steps we make towards Him, the more He reveals Himself to us, and He reveals what heaven means. But He always wants us to make the initial step. He's waiting patiently for our willing act of submission in baptism. One day, Jesus asked James and John, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? He was asking them. He's asking you today, are you prepared to follow me all the way? Are you able to drink the cup from the cup that I shall drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I have been baptized with? Will you follow me even through death and humiliation and rejection? Are you ready to be cut off from your friends and even from your family? We will follow you even there, they reply. We are able. And by those words, expressed a deep devotion to Him and to His mission in life. What is your reply to the same question today? Are you able? Jesus' answer is still the same today as was then. You shall drink indeed of my cup. You shall be baptized with my baptism. But let me ask you this, and I will paraphrase. Will you follow me, not knowing what place or position you will get? Will you drink of my cup and leave all else to the Father? Can you step up and give up everything, regardless what reward you will get? But know this, that as you share my cup of suffering, you will also share my cup of joy. Never before more penetrating, more soul-searching words were spoken by our Lord to the moment of this conversation. Are you able? Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. Meaning that every faithful follower shall be awarded the privilege of bearing his cross. Millions of people live on this earth, and it so happened that God calls someone here and another there. Somewhere in India, few in Romania, someone in Poland, Germany. He calls and he says, come, follow me, take up your cross with you, drink this cup that I have specially poured for you. I had to pour for you, so it is just enough for you to become like me. Drink all of it. Not too little, not too much. All of it. And our Master, tell us what it takes to be able. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit truly is weak, is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer is a result of our faith. And watching in faith, and watching is faith in action, a living faith. We strive for things which we pray for. We pray for things which are important to us, the qualities that we desire. Our earnestness of prayer will help us with watching. We have to watch for all encouragement of the Holy Word, that our faith and loyalty to our Lord may grow. We have to watch our words, our thoughts, our doings, making sure that we worship our Lord in purity of heart. We have to be on alert in regards to our weaknesses and shortcomings, that we may guard ourselves against failure. But if you stumble, remember the scripture of 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Sometimes our will has to be broken in order for our heart to be tender and willing. Only tender heart can feel the mercies of God. Sometimes we are too bold, much like Peter trusting himself. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you, Peter said. But when they met again there on the shores of the Galilean Sea, it was not the same Peter as before. This Peter was stripped from his hardness on his simple question, do you agape me? If you walk with the Lord, you will not be spared from difficult, severe, or even painful experiences. But remember, the Lord touches our heart, our inmost parts. He allows situations which are painful, where our will can be broken and our heart softened, that we may begin to feel again and be ready to receive His love, His mercy. The Lord never calls anyone who cannot be victorious. The road less traveled is still open. The high road is always there for us to choose, even when we make mistakes. Our consecration may not be perfect, but it has to be full and complete. God does not expect perfection, but He expects progress.
In our consecrated life, you will suffer like all others do. But now, your suffering is for a purpose. He promised that he will not give you more that you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so you may be able to endure it. Today, we come to our Lord to tell him that we are ready to receive his justification, his love, his strength. We are ready to be buried with him. Our heart is overwhelming with affection for him. We reverence him and obey his commandments. We want our wills to be broken and replaced by his will. We want to thank Jesus that only in him we are able to drink the cup and to be baptized with his baptism. And from the moment that you will step out from the water, be faithful to your vows. Love your Lord with all your heart. Love him with every fiber of your body. Love him with all your soul. Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love Jehovah thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is your perfect sacrifice of this day, in which God is very well pleased. When you will give him whole of yourself, not a part, not a portion, but the whole you. When you will give him what is most precious to him, when he will be your first and your last thought, when you will thirst for him in your distress, when he will be the song of your happiness, when you will constantly talk to him and share your life with him. Our Lord, please accept our willing heart. Accept our struggle to be faithful to you. Accept our longing for you. Accept our needs of your mercy. Accept our devotion, our love for you, our commitment to do your will today until the end of our days. May this be your reality. I will ask you now to stand up, and I will ask you a few simple questions. And you may answer by expressing in words or by simply shaking your head. Express any way you wish. Do you recognize that you are sinful and born under sin? Do you recognize this? Are you trusting in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins and the basis of your justification? Do you? Have you made a full consecration of yourself with all your heart, with all your being to Lord, to be faithful unto him in his service, even unto death? Do you? Based on your confession, it is my privilege to extend the right hand of fellowship and to welcome you into the body of Christ. I will take everybody's hand, and I will give you a scripture that I wish that will become your consecration scripture, that will guide you in the times when you need it.